Yeah, cool. I saw that video and I was like fighting back tears and stuff. So what a cool reminder. Today we're starting a brand new series called When I Grow Up, Building a Family Legacy. And, you know, I think that video is a great reminder for us of, it's one of those things where sometimes we don't realize the incredible impact that we have on our people, you know, on people around us in our everyday life, our family. And so what we want to do in this series is a lot of times we talk about family stuff in the right now, like, you know, like we're going to kindergarten, you know, as a family basically right now. You know, what do we need to do for tomorrow? But what we want to do in this series is we're going to look a little bit more long range. And I want to talk with you over the next few weeks about how do we build, like what are we building in our lives? What do we want to build in our lives and in the lives of our family? In other words, what are the things, what are the values, what are the things that we want to pass down to people behind us? You know, growing up, like every kid, I always had these really big dreams, you know, these things that I wanted to do in my life, things that I wanted to be in my life, you know, when I grew up. And I remember doing this activity like in elementary school almost every year. Maybe you did this, where the teacher asked you to draw who you wanted to be when you grew up. Do you remember doing that? Some of y'all may have done that. I remember like when I was in first grade, I drew me number 14 as the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers. That's who I wanted to be when I grew up, right? And then I found out I was 5'8", and you know, it was kind of like, okay, different dream, right? I would draw things like being a professional baseball player, or you know, like a fireman, or you know, all these different things, a musician, and it would change over time for me. But more importantly, I had this big dream for my life, even as a little kid, where I wanted my life to mean something. You know, I wanted to make a difference in the lives of people, and I wanted to make an impact in people's lives, no matter what I was doing. And the crazy thing is, as I had these dreams for my life, and I'm sure you had some for yours, the crazy thing is, I had these dreams for my life, but at the same time, there were people in my life who also had dreams for me. People like my parents and my grandparents, people like my church family, and even God. And these people and even God had a lot of times bigger dreams than what I could even envision for myself that they were trying to build up into my life. And so, I think that the same is true for all of us, right? In fact, I think that you are largely where you are today because certain people in your life decided to build something into your life. I want you to think about who some of those people might have been, who built something into your life. You know, I think all of us want to leave a legacy. We want to build a legacy that matters. In fact, you know, I guess one of the terms is a hand-me-down, right? A hand-me-down. And a hand-me-down is kind of a negative connotation. I was the oldest kid, so I didn't get many hand-me-downs, right? But my brothers and sisters got hand-me-downs. And at one point, this is a little too personal, but I'll tell you because it's funny. At one point, we were like 8 years old, and we realized that me and my brother Josh were sharing underwear, and we were like sick of, you know, doing it. Not at the same time, but we were sick of doing that. So we finally said, no more. We can't hand-me-down, you know, underwear, right? But it was one of those things where that's usually a negative connotation, but there are some things that we want to pass down that are lasting and important. But here's the thing, when we get busy in our lives, what tends to happen, we're really, really busy, we tend to just drift along, you know? We kind of just drift along from one thing to the next, from one activity to the next, from one season and one appointment and one stage to the next. And let me just be honest, like when our kids are having like a meltdown, you know, or when there's tension in your family, those are not the times when you're thinking, oh, how can I leave a legacy right now? You know, in the middle of this, like you're trying to fix the immediate. But this is what happens. We get busy in our lives, and what happens is we tend to so many times we focus on, instead of building what's most important in our families, we tend to focus on what's immediate, on what seems to be the most pressing and what's the most urgent. And so the truth is everybody, you and me, all of us are building a legacy right now. Kind of crazy to think about that, but you're building a legacy right now, even if you're not meaning to. In fact, Michael McCord a couple years ago shared the concept of how when we, in our lives, all of us leave a wake, like on a boat, you know? When a boat comes through the water, there's a wake that's left behind. And the wake that you're creating in your life is impacting the lives of others, whether we realize it or not. And so in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to zoom out to the 30,000-foot view of our lives. And what do we want to accomplish? I want to help you to be intentional about what we're building and how to build for the long haul. And I want to encourage you by this, that instead of building for the immediate, I want to encourage you to build things into your family that will last for eternity. Instead of building for the immediate, build things into your family that will last for eternity. Focus on things that will last forever. And so let me also just tell you that this series is not just for old people, right? This series is not just for those of us who maybe have a little bit more gray hair or have more experience, let's say, in life, right? This series is also not just for people who are married. And it's not just for people who have kids and grandkids and all that stuff. It's not about that. It's bigger. Because I think that this series applies to even kids, and it applies to students. Because the thing is, really, a legacy is really about, I mean, everybody is in a position to build a legacy. And what a legacy is really about, if you think about it, it's about investing in anyone who's coming behind us. Investing in anyone who's coming behind us. And so you might be one generation away from somebody, one generation ahead, and you can build a legacy. You might be one stage or one grade or one situation ahead of somebody, and yet you have the ability to influence somebody and to build a legacy. And whether we've been intentional about this or not, whether we messed up and blown it, or whether we've done really good, the good news about leaving a legacy is that you have an opportunity starting today. Starting today to begin building a legacy that blesses not just your kids and your grandkids, but everybody around you for generations to come. Isn't that cool? Like, you have an opportunity to do that in your life starting today. So when we talk about what to build in our lives, building a family legacy, great, what does that mean? Where do I start? I guess the question I was thinking about is, if we could reduce it to one big thing, what is the one big thing? What's the one big idea? What matters most in our lives? Like, what's the one thing that we've got to get right? You know, a lot of people, if you ask, on the street or even if you look at people's lives, including ours, a lot of times people will say, well, I think it's about helping people to be a good person. You know, helping my kids and my grandkids and me. We just want to help them to be a good person. And that's what we want to build, good people. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing. I hope that, hope you're not trying to build bad people, Hope you're trying to help your family to become better people. But I want to let you know that as good as that is, that's not what's most important. On the other hand, a lot of people, when they think of the word legacy, they immediately start thinking to money and resources. A lot of times what we tend to think is we tend to think of the things, the stuff, the resources that we can leave behind to someone behind us. And it's one of those things where all that's good. I hope that some of us are working and working and working and working and working, and we're trying to accumulate and maybe even save so that one day we might be able to pass down to people behind us. But as important as that is, I want you to know that there is something that's so much more important. That's not what's most important. In fact, when I do funerals as a pastor, I have to tell you that nobody ever stands up. Nobody ever stands up and talks about the amount of money or the resources that someone left behind. They don't ever talk about that. Think about funerals you've been to. What do people talk about? They talk about stories. They talk about time spent. They talk about life lessons and values that were not just taught by that person, but oftentimes things that were caught by the way that they lived. But the one big thing that everybody focuses on in those moments, the one thing that I think we have to get right is this: faith. Faith. All your values are kind of tied into that. All your purpose is tied into that. In fact, your eternal destiny and the eternal destiny of everybody in your life and in all over the world is linked to that reality, getting that one thing right: your faith. Being connected to Jesus by faith. And so here's the bottom line I want to share with you today, and it's this, is that when you build faith into your family, you leave a legacy for generations to come. When you build faith into your family, you will leave a legacy for generations to come. In fact, it's one that will last for eternity. Today we're going to look at a couple scriptures, but the first one we're going to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 6, and before we get there, let me kind of tell you what's been going on. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is one of the biggest, scriptures in all the Bible. It's one of the most important, one of the most influential scriptures in all the Bible, because God is teaching that principle of faith, passing that down to the next generation. He's teaching that lesson to the Israelites. And he's showing them, look, if there's one thing that you've got to get right, it's putting your faith and your trust and learning to love God with all your heart, right? That's the one thing you got to get right. And he's saying, look, and you've got to learn how to pass that on to generations that are behind you. Now, before we read it, let me tell you that here's where we are in the scripture. The people of God had been freed from slavery in Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land that God had for them, and they're wandering in the wilderness. God's given them the Ten Commandments, and he says, he's giving this instruction in the middle of that. And I just think it's fascinating that before God changed their location, before God changed their situation to bring them to where they always thought they wanted to be, God wanted to change them. He wanted to make sure that when you get to the promised land that you don't forget who led you there and that you don't forget where your trust is and who you can put your hope in. And so he gives them these instructions about how to be rooted in God. And so here's what it says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 1. It says this. This is Moses saying this about God. It says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me, that's Moses, to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Verse 2. It says, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I will give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Verse 3, it says, hear Israel and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Now, this is the setup. He's like, I'm about to tell you something really, really important. But before we move on, did you notice the generational language here? Like, you know, when the people of God thought about their faith, they didn't think of just me and God, that old country song, right? They thought about generations. They thought about what God wants to pass down through them. And so that you hear words like ancestors and passing this on to your children and their children. And basically, Moses is saying, look, God told me that we've got to get this one thing right. This is the one command that God wants everybody to know, and he wants all of us to pass this down to everybody we know. And here's what he says, the one thing we've got to get right. Verse 4, here's what the Lord says. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Here's what it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I mean, this is the greatest commandment. This is that you see this every single day when you, every single Sunday as you leave. Love God, love people, make disciples. This is what God is teaching the people. But Moses starts out with the great confession first. And the great confession, by the way, this is called the Shema in Hebrew culture. Like, this is the baby. This is the thing. What we just read, they would recite this daily. Every Jewish person recites this daily to remind themselves who God is and what God wants for their lives. And he starts with the declaration, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this was like Israel's war cry, you know? This is like something that they ingrained in their lives, but it's something that went so distinctly against the culture that they were in. It was a culture that worshiped all these different things and all these different gods. And so in the middle of all that, they were reminding themselves that there is just one living God. There's no other. Now, that may kind of seem funny because we're not building golden calves today, I don't think, right? We're not probably, you know, bending down to worship all these other gods. But the truth is, what our worship is really about is where is directing our attention and our value to what we value most. Right? And so there's a lot of things that we could say, oh, that might be kind of like my worship here. And so, but what God is wanting them to know is that, like, all the other sources that people go to worship and to follow, you know, all those are just broken and empty human creations. The truth is, there's one God and he's alive. And so God wanted us to know that he's alive and that God is our source. And then Moses moves to the great commandment. And this is really the key to our lives. He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Basically, love God. This is what God wants you to do. Love God with all of your being, with all that you are and with everything that you've got. If you just learn to love God, why? Because God first loved you. In fact, God created us in order to display his love in our lives. And so the truth is, it's one of these things where yes, God wants us to trust him. Yes, God wants us to follow him, but the way it starts is by falling in love with God. It starts from that place. And I think this is just a reminder that before we can pass faith down to anybody else, God's love has to take root in our lives. Like, we've got to learn how to really know God's love and to love God in return. And I think usually when we think about making an impact, what we normally do is we start running quickly toward reaching out and impacting our family. I'm so thankful for that in a lot of ways, because there's a whole lot of people here at this church who have found Jesus because maybe I wasn't going to church and maybe faith wasn't important, but all of a sudden you have kids and you start to say, you know what? I think my kids should be in church, right? And what's happened, the way this church started in a lot of ways, is we tried to create the best kids and student ministry we possibly could do. And so what happened was all these people are bringing their, you know, unchurched families are coming and they're bringing their kids to church because I want my kids in church, right? And then along the way, their kids get really excited about Jesus and what they learned, and they come bringing their unchurched family back, and all of a sudden, God starts to do a work in the family. So that happens, but it's just a reminder that the best thing that we can do for our families is not to just focus on making an impact, but the best thing we can do is to fall madly in love with God ourselves. So take time to nurture your own faith, right? Nurture your own faith. Come to worship, pray, read scripture, because that's an investment not just for you, but for your whole family legacy. Here's how it continues. I want you to check this out. So it starts with us and our faith. Here's what it says in verse 6. What Moses says to the people. He says, these commands that I give you today are to be on your, what does it say? On your hearts. See, if something's just in your head, you know, you can think about it, but it doesn't change your life. He's like, I want this to be on your hearts. I want this to be the motivation of everything that drives you. Here's what he says. He says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Verse 8, it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, what God wants us to do is he wants us to pass down faith to the next generation. In as many ways as possible, he wants us to teach our children to know this one thing, to know and to love God. To know and to love God. That's the most important thing that we can pass to our children, to know and love God. You know, teaching our kids who our Creator is I think, maybe the most important thing that we could ever do. And if you think about it, here's why. Moms, for the moms in the room, you know the scripture says that when your child, when you were carrying your child, it says that God says that I was knitting your child together. And he says, I was knitting you together in your mother's womb. And so that means that before you heard a heartbeat, before you felt a kick, that God was doing something to impress and to write the DNA forming your children, you know? In fact, he was writing the DNA. He was putting our tendencies and our passions and our gifts inside of your kids, right? And God knows every day that's ordained for our lives. And it's one of those things where God knows your children more intimately than you even know them. God knows your kids more intimately, and he loves them more intimately than even they'll ever know of themselves. And it's one of those things where God is the inventor. He's the creator. He's their founder. And so he's the one who breathed them into existence and the one who sustains them in their lives. And so the most important thing for our family is to teach our kids to know God's love, to know God's love and to love God in return. You know, it's one of those things where it sounds like a daunting task, doesn't it? Like leaving a legacy. Goodness gracious. And some of you may say, well, I don't even know where to start. And you may feel incredibly incapable of doing this. Like, I don't even, like, maybe you're like, you and your faith, maybe you just feel like, I just feel so inadequate to do something so big. I want to encourage you that nobody's ever going to be a perfect parent. No matter how holy you ever get, you're never going to be a perfect parent. And that's okay. Because what God does, you look at the scriptures, God doesn't use perfect people because there's nobody. What God chooses to do is God is really passionate about helping you to invest in your kids and in your family, helping imperfect people and even imperfect parents to lead their kids into a growing relationship with Jesus, to point them to a perfect Savior. You know, that's the greatest thing you can do. And you may be thinking, well, I'm not a spiritual leader. Like, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know where to start. Well, the good news is you're not alone. You're not alone. You know, it's one of those things where we talked about the Holy Spirit in our last series. You know that no matter where you go, that God goes with you. You know that no matter what you strive to do, if God calls you to it, God's going to help you to walk through it. He's going to enable you. And so you're not alone. God's with you. But more, and it's interesting because God has more invested in your kids and in the next generation than you do. God loves your kids, as crazy as this is, and God has greater plans for your kids than you could ever have. And so our job is to simply get in alignment with God and allow His power to work through us and to step forward, seize moments, and God will empower you to do that. But also I want to remind you that here at The Fountain, you're not alone. Because our mission here, like, we're really passionate about coming alongside of you and partnering with you to help you to disciple your family. We're on a team. We're on a team together as a church. And so one of the best ways that you can make an impact in your family is by simply just continuing to make church a priority. And I don't mean church attendance. You know, there's some people that they think that what it means to follow God is I punched my stamp, I came to church. No. What I'm talking about is a continuous impact. Continually making church a priority in your family is a huge thing that you can do. And in fact, I'm so thankful for my parents who made that investment in me. I remember there was one season I played five sports at one time. It's like crazy. One season I was playing five different sports. And yet every single Sunday we were in church together. And I might have, like, come with my ball, you know, clothes on and all sorts of things, but I was in youth group and all these things. And it wasn't that they got it perfect all the time, but it's one of those things where that was just what we did. And their continuous investment in me. And as a teenager, there were times where I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. I got homework to do. I got other things to do. But they just kept saying, no, this is important. You need to get all that stuff done, but you need to get this done. This is the priority. And we would go and we'd be a part of that. And I'm so thankful they did. Because over time, God started to build in me faith that I can carry with me everywhere that I go. And this, the thing is, the other thing, there's a great tool that we give out every single Sunday in our Fountain Student or Fountain Kids Ministry. It's this sheet that's given to both preschoolers and elementary schoolers called a parent cue. And you may be thinking, I don't even know what to do to help form faith in my family. Like, you know, I come to church, but what else? These are really simple tools to help you to do that. So there's things that say, hey, during morning time, when you go to your child's room this month, say, good morning. I see somebody mommy and daddy loves, and name people your child knows. And God loves you. God loves you so much. Just little simple things to help build faith into your family. We give these out every Sunday to our parents and our Fountain Kids. But it's really designed to help build that each week. And that's what Moses is really saying here when he's saying, pass this on to your kids. He's not just saying, go do that, pass it on. He's given us practical ways to do that, how to pass it along. And Moses has these action words that he uses that are all different. He says, when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, basically, instead of your faith just being private and coasting along, basically just find ways to talk about God throughout your day with your family. That's a way to build a family legacy. Seize the moments and just plant seeds. It's not going to look like a revival broke out all the time, but you're just planting seeds, right? In fact, one of the things that we do in our life, talk about sitting when you're sitting around at home. At the dinner table, my family, one of the things that we do is we always just have a prayer time. And it's not always the most holy sound in prayer time, but our kids, they've started to pray themselves at the dinner table. And we not only thank God for our food, but we pray for people. But they love to sing their song, you know, their prayer song. And they sing it. We go to a restaurant and we have to like, shh. Because they're like, Father, we thank you, Father, we... And the whole restaurant's like, you know, and some people like clap for them or whatever. But it's like, this is embarrassing, but they're like shining the light of Jesus, you know? But that's one thing that they love to do, and it's part of our family routine. It's passing on faith. Another thing that we tend to do is when we're on the road, because Moses talks about when you're on the road. When we're on the road driving, that's one of the best times to have just God conversations. Don't have to be deep. But when you're on the way to school, maybe one of the things that you can do is just like pray for your kids out loud. I know that sounds a little crazy, but pray for your kids out loud and for their day. You could talk about, just share, hey, you know what? I read this the other day. Here's what God showed me. It says when you lay down and when you get up, one of the things you can do is just read scripture in the morning or at night. Another thing that we do in our family is another prayer time before we go to bed. We gather our kids up, and it's don't think like everybody's kneeling and these sweet little prayers. It's like they're rolling around, and you know, it's like that. But we have this prayer time, and what we'll say oftentimes to our kids, can I pray for you? And they're like, yes. That's like the most golden thing for them. Can I pray for you? And they're like, yes, please. And we just, God, I pray that you would help. You would help Peyton to have a great day tomorrow. I pray that you would help him to know how much mommy and daddy love him, how much you love him. And we just pray like that. It's simple. It's nothing special. But what's happening is it's forming faith in our kids day after day. So you don't have to be perfect and you don't have to know all the answers. In fact, just have kids and you find out really quickly, they'll come up with questions that nobody's ever thought about. I'm a pastor and I don't know all the answers. But here's the key. Be intentional. Be intentional. In fact, be intentional about building faith into your family. That's what we're talking about. Not another list to do, but be intentional. Because the bottom line is this, when you build faith into your family, you will leave a legacy for generations to come. Let me read one more scripture to you. The Apostle Paul, this is a really cool one. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy is writing this letter to his younger protege, Timothy. And Paul is looking at Timothy's family legacy, and he's realizing the ripple effect that his family has had on his faith. And here's what Paul says to Timothy. He says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Let's just stop there. Because this is cool, because Paul's praying for Timothy. He's striving to build his faith. Talk about legacy. But he's also saying, hey, I'm remembering back to my ancestors who did the same thing for me. Legacy. Now here's what it says in verse 5. I love this. Paul says this about Timothy. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which means your real faith, your genuine faith. It's faith that you can carry with you. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Isn't that cool? Now here's the thing. You don't become a Christian just by the coattails of your parents or your grandparents, but it shows the legacy and the impact you can make. Interesting to know, Timothy's dad was not a Christ follower at first. He was not a Christian. He was not a God-following guy. I hope that's encouraging for you, because it doesn't mean that you have to have this perfect lineage of faith in your life in order to make an impact. It's one of those things where his mom and his grandmother, just they were believers, and it was their faith that either led Timothy to faith in Jesus or that actually helped him to grow in his faith. And I was thinking about this in my own life, thinking about the faith legacy of my grandparents, Ray and Mavis. I was thinking about them. I was thinking about the faith legacy of my grandparents, Foster and Evelyn Lett, the Fellers and the Letts. And both sides, both families know Jesus. My grandfathers have passed on. My grandmothers are still alive. Man, they are awesome. They're like 90, you know, whatever years old, and they're just zipping up and down the stairs. It's crazy. You know, there's some major genes going on. But this, my family has, they grew up knowing Jesus and loving Jesus and making an impact, and they helped to build this genuine faith, not just in themselves, but they passed that on to my parents. And I was thinking about that. The incredible faith impact of my own parents, right, is largely a result of the impact of what they did in their own lives, of how they passed it on. And my parents, they weren't perfect, you know, but man, they're heroes in my faith. And it wasn't because, I'm sorry, it wasn't because they got everything right. It's because they taught me to have a real, sincere, genuine faith. They helped me to have a faith that I could take with me. And they helped me to know that how to pass it on to other people. And it's one of those things where I'm thankful that I grew up in a family where we sang, Jesus loves me, where they always reminded me that, you know what, God loves you no matter what. And it was one of those things where we go to family reunions. I just see legacy, faith legacy all around me. We go to these big family reunions, and what do? It's my grandparents and my uncles and aunts and my parents. We pray together for our family. It's kind of crazy, right? We oftentimes gather, and we'll sing hymns together, and they'll want somebody to perform another hymn for somebody. We'll do things like, you know, we'll do all these different things. We'll talk together about Jesus, faith. In my family has always been a priority. And it's those ripples, like a pebble in a pond, those ripples in my faith that have been impacting not only my parents and not only me, but are extending on to even my kids. I'm thankful for that. And so I want to encourage you to do this, to live the story. Live the story you want your family to tell. Live the story you want your family to tell. I get to tell that story. And here's the thing, I realize that not everybody has that same kind of family legacy, and that's okay. In fact, it's one of those things where you have an incredible opportunity. If you are the very first Christian in your family, at least in a long time, it can start with you. In fact, you may be the very first generation that can start that trend of building a faith legacy in your family. But if maybe you've grown up something like me and people have been passing that down to you, it means that you have an incredible responsibility. To not only keep your faith bottled up, but to pass that on to the next generation, to your kids and their kids. Let me give you one challenge as we close up today. And here's the challenge. This is a go-do, and I really want you to do this. As you go home this week, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to go home and to think about and to come up with 3 to 5 things that you want to build into your family. 3 to 5 things that are kind of North Star directions of what you want your legacy to be. Come up with those things, 3 to 5 things. If you're married, don't do it by yourself. Do it together as a couple. If you're not married, do it on your own. If you're a student, you can do it. Think about what are the 3 to 5 things that you want your legacy, your family legacy to be. Write it down. Don't just think about it. Write it down. Keep it on your refrigerator or something. Could be a value. Could be culture. Could be, you know, how you want to live or what you want to build. But the encouraging thing is let's just be intentional. Let's be intentional about helping our family to know and to love Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way you love us. We just talked about that, God. Thank you so much that our faith doesn't ever just start with us. That God, you have always been working from the beginning of our lives and even before to form faith into our lives, to help us to come to know your love and your grace and your power. God, I thank you for all those people in all of our lives who have made an impact on who we are and on our faith. And I just pray, God, that by the power of your Spirit, you would enable us to not be perfect, but to help pass that faith down to people around us, to the next generation. God, we know that we don't do this alone. And so, God, I pray that you would just continue to resurrect that in us, resurrect that in our families. Help us to make an impact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.